The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, you know, the next little segment in John 6, this the bread of life discourse, and the bread of life discourse, you can tell, is wildly popular, right? We've managed to clear out the whole section of the church during the bread of life discourse. It's like, I mean, we'll get on to the next section where everybody hears this and they walk away from Jesus. So they were just, everyone's just anticipating the fact, and they've already gone, so makes it a bit easier, maybe. Anyway, this is it. Let me start here at the end, okay? The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Okay, so you know we say it's like blood, sweat, and tears, right? Where this is my blood, sweat, and tears, and you look at that thing and you go, well, it's not actually your blood, sweat, and tears, right? I mean, that's something, that's a good work that you've done, and you put a lot into it, but it's not actually your blood, sweat, and tears. Okay, so there's some sense of this throughout the passage, okay? I'm not going to say that when Jesus is talking about the bread of life and giving himself as food and the rest, he is talking about himself, okay? He is talking about his body and blood and rest. But here, right, when we see this, There's at least throughout the narrative a thread of the idea that Jesus is going on to his death. And in order to profit from that, which is the work of his blood, sweat, and tears, right? This is the work of he's giving his flesh for the life of the world in his death, that somehow we have to participate in that. Okay, so it's like, okay, this is my blood, sweat, and tears. And we say, okay, we have to eat of his blood, sweat, and tears. We have to participate in the saving action of Jesus. Or it remains just this, this like somewhat extraordinary accomplishment, right? Someone came back to life after being dead, right? Or someone passed through death and came out the other side. This is a really marvelous feat, and we all ought to celebrate it. But it's more than that. The idea is that we have to participate in it. And so what he's done in, say, the previous scene, it's very interesting, actually, right? Say, John, in his gospel, does not recount the Last Supper. Yeah? He doesn't talk about Jesus' baptism either. It's extraordinary, and it's not. It's extraordinary for us, who 2,000 years on would have said, well, it might have been good to get that in there. those are pretty important things. Might have wanted to get that in there. But actually, it suggests more that he, of course, didn't need to get it in there. Why? Because everybody knew. Right? So it's he just build on it rather than go back and restate it. So he's going to give you the importance of it rather than, you know, going and giving you what it was. Okay? So when we see prior to the bread of life discourse, the feeding of the multitude, where Jesus takes right the five loaves and two fish and he breaks them, right? He blesses them, he breaks them, he gives them to his disciples. This is the language of the Eucharist. So there's no way really to get John 6 unless you're going to get the Eucharist. Okay, so it's a very significant thing for us, because when we hear Jesus going through this, we ought to go back and say, this is my participation in his own blessed life, right? So my participation in the Eucharist that is Jesus' initiative and that is, say, his blood, sweat, and tears, right? His very flesh given for the life of the world. This is how I'm going to participate in it. And so, and we'll get into, we will stay in this space for a little while longer in order to go further with Jesus in this bread of life discourse, and in order for it to be as profitable for us as he intends it to be. Okay, so yes, there's the feeding in the wilderness, the parallel. God is the one who feeds, but Jesus himself is the living bread. He's the living bread that came down from heaven, and whoever eats this bread will live forever. Now there are too many things to say here, okay? I'm not going to try to say them all. I want to say at least one, just so I can check the box, you know, for my own conscience. Okay, I want to say this. Why is it that the person who eats the bread of life lives forever? It's because the person who eats the bread of life has already gone through death. Yeah, has already gone through death with Jesus. Okay, so part of it is to say, yeah, I've put to death my old and sinful self. I've risen with Jesus to live totally for God and his purposes. Okay, and I already, by virtue of the fact that Jesus has taken the initiative, by the fact that Jesus is feeding me with his own blessed life, right, the life of love that has conquered death, I now have at work within me the power of, you know, death defeating love, which cannot be overcome by death. So then we live forever. We live forever. Okay, we've been won over to the cause. We've been claimed by Jesus. I mean, if we don't see that this is his initiative, we're lost. Okay, this is actually just fuel for anxiety. If we don't see that this is God's initiative through and through, because we say, well, it's actually like, okay, I have to do something to deserve that, or like I have to get myself into a position where I can receive that, or no, God is taking the initiative. God is the one who's called you, okay, and he's not playing games with this. Yeah, he's called you, and he intends to preserve the gift that he's giving you, and he's wastefully extravagant, but he's not wasteful. Do you know, like he's willing to pour himself out, and this is even contained in this discourse. Jesus, the bread of life, giving himself to us to eat, right, to be consumed. He wants to give himself whole and entire to us. This is like wastefully extravagant. I mean, this is beyond our imagination, like how extravagant the gift is. Jesus giving his whole self to us. But giving his whole self to us is like not just, okay, for now and then it ends. It's okay, this endures forever. It has to. This is how God continues to honor that gift that he's giving and the life that he's causing to well up within us, right? That the life that he's causing to bring to full flourishing. He intends to see that through to the end. Yeah, so it's ours, I think, to see how extravagantly and the rest God is giving himself to us, and to receive that superabundant life, that life that is total for the otherness, and then pour ourselves out in his service, right? That's part of the reception of the gift. So part of the reception of the gift of the bread of life is in fact to become bread of life. Yeah, that's us. I mean, that's not the most scandalous thing I could say from here, right? I mean, we say like, okay, we're the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ? Yeah, you. Yeah, you, Antoinette. You're the body of Christ. You know, you're the body of Christ, okay? That's wild. Okay, so Jesus, the bread of life, nourishing us with his very self, intends us to become bread of life. So we have to also let other people feed on us. So in the same way that, okay, God is giving us, right, hope and joy, love, joy, peace, patience, the rest, he's giving us love and love that knows no bounds, life that knows no limits, I mean, all the rest. This is what the world needs. That's not extraordinary or exceptional. That's the plan. That was the plan of God, was for us to be in the world, giving life to the world. was for us to be in the world, bringing the world to flourishing. That was the plan. That was always the plan. So it's really not that extraordinary. It's just that we don't often get that we need to do it, and we don't get how we need to do it. And we have both answers here, because we have to go to Jesus, and we're drawn. We see, right? The Father who sent, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draw him. It's God's initiative, right? That God is calling us again to Himself. And then it's by eating of the bread of life. It's by profiting off of that great accomplishment of Christ Jesus. It's by dying with Him so as to rise with Him to new life, live totally for God, all the while nourished and sustained by His own blessed life, that we can bring that great plan of God to its full flourishing.